All right, friends, I'm just going to roll up my sleeves one sec. How you doing today? Welcome back to Babylon Talmud. Today we're studying Daf Chaf Aleph, Daf 21 of Masechta Bava Metzia. Friends. Friends. Today is a very special day because we are starting the second parak of Bava Metzia, which is called Eilu Metzias. This is like possibly out of any other parak in all of Shas, this might be the most classic parak in that it wasn't the first parak of Gemara that I wouldn't call it learned because I didn't really learn anything in Gemara probably until like 9th or 10th or 11th grade in terms of anything actually sinking in. But in terms of being in a class with a teacher going through the teaching motions, so my first parak actually was Tefillas HaShachar, which is the fourth parak of Masechta Brachos. I think they tried to kind of like soften the blow kind of thing. Teach something a little bit more interesting at first. But classically, Eilu Metzias, wow, I can't remember my eye. Classically, Eilu Metzias is like what you start with. So we did it in seventh grade instead of sixth grade. So sixth grade was Tefillas HaShachar, seventh grade was Eilu Metzias, and then eighth grade was Hamafkid, which is the next parak in Bava Metzia. So even though, yes, we learned Tefillas HaShachar, sixth grade, but classically, this is what you start with, Eilu Metzias. I think knowing that this is like the classic parak, you know, like I'm like learning it with that perspective of like, wow, this is like the quintessential introductory parak to like learning Gemara. The first thing you learn is Eilu Metzias. So it's very exciting. It's a very beautiful parak so far. I've learned a few daf of it already. It's not as difficult as Shnei Moichs and Vitalis, at least not the parts that I've learned. There's something very sweet about it. It could be that I'm sort of like if I didn't have all of this kind of perspective and context, maybe I wouldn't necessarily, you know, automatically feel that way. But at the very least, knowing that like this is the classic entry point into Gemara, there's something very, very sweet about Eilu Metzias. There's like some classic stuff. I was talking to a fellow at WeWork the other day. I told him I'm learning Eilu Metzias, you know, so we both got very excited. There's a special, you know, that was the first thing he learned was Eilu Metzias, where he went to yeshiva, where he went to cheder in Brooklyn. They started with Eilu Metzias. So I said, we started with Talos HaShach, with Tefillas HaShachar. We did Eilu Metzias the next year. But even just reminiscing on Yehu Shalom Midas, which we're going to get to today, and, you know, Simonin and Chayv LaHachriz, these are just, they're so classic, you know, like, even if in seventh grade I had no clue what any of these things meant, although I always knew, I guess, that Yehush meant, like, you know, the giving up hope or something, like, you know, these are just, they like seep into your brain. It's like Girsa Diankisa. Like at such a young age, you're introduced to these concepts that they're just so classic. You take them with you, you know? So yeah, there's something very, very sweet about learning Eilu Metzias. So, Chevre, we only have one opportunity together to learn Eilu Metzias. So here we go. I'm very excited. I'm even, I didn't record last night because I was too tired and I wanted to come into Eilu Metzias fresh and excited. So here we are. It's Friday. I almost have four daf that I need to record today. How did that even happen? But all right, here goes nothing. It's Friday morning, daf one. Hopefully I'll get through all of them. I really hope so. Then I would really be caught up. Man, if I get through four daf today, I'd be in an awesome place. But we'll see what happens. Eilu Metzias shelov Eilu chayv lahachris. The classic parak begins with these are the things that you can keep and these are the things that you have to announce. It talks about if you find a lost object, we all know about Ashova Saveda, you find a lost object, you have to return it to its owner. So if you find a lost object, so which things can you keep and which things you have to announce and try to get back to the rightful owner? So again, these are the things that if you find them, you can keep them. And these things you have to announce and try to find the rightful owner. I mean, there's just something so sweet about even this, right? You know, thinking about like, you know, about lost and found. And it's very sweet, you know, like tradition. Some things in tradition are just very, very sweet. You know, like the first introduction to learning is with like lost and found and ownership and finding the right people and knowing what's yours. It's just very, very sweet. These are the things that he can keep. That he doesn't have to announce. He doesn't have to try to figure out who owns it. He can keep it for himself. If you find scattered fruits, all right. Most mifuzaros or scattered money. Krichos b'rishus harabim, or random kind of little sheaves of wheat that are just in rishus harabim, in the public domain, v'igulei dvela, and fig cakes, round fig cakes, all right? Kikris shel nachtum, or loaves of bread of a baker, machuza shel dogim, strings of fish, okay? V'achticho shel basar, or pieces of meat, v'gizei tzemer, halakuchin mimidinoson, and shearings of wool. All right, I guess that were taken from their place or something. I don't know. What does that mean? Mimidinoson, kemoshe, and gizuzos, kishar, kol gizos. Yeah, whatever. The point is they look like all the other ones. Vanitze, pishton, and bundles of flax, I think. Vilashona shalagomon, and tongues of scarlet wool. Harelu shalodi vemer. These things he can keep. It says divrei meir. There's other cases who don't have divrei meir, but these are the things that he can keep. And the point is, these are things that are, there's no simin, there's no sign on them, there's nothing unique about them, right? Right? A loaf of bread that comes, right now it's Friday. If I go to Shuk Machne Yehuda and find a random loaf of bread from one of the bakeries in Shuk Machne Yehuda, challah be'etzem looks like a challah. You know, I won't know exactly which shop he got it from or who it belongs to, or you are, or better yet, right? Somebody dropped it. Who bought it? I don't know who it belonged to. They all look the same. So these are all things that there's nothing identifiable about them. The assumption is that the person who lost it has given up hope that they're going to get it back. And therefore, you know, absent of really anything identifiable on it, and the fact that the owner has surely given up hope and doesn't intend to get it back, you can keep these things. We're going to learn about already on today's daf about exactly, you know, how do you know that, how can you determine that somebody gave up hope? That's already, we're going to learn on this daf. Okay, Givaldi, Gebuda, Omer, says Gebuda, Kol she'esh bo shinui, anything that's unique, anything that's different, chayv lahachriz, you can't just take for yourself and keep and now it's yours. You have to announce it. You have to try to find the owner. Keitzad, what are examples of these? Motza igul uvesocho cheres. Well, if you found a round fig cake, and but there's a shard of pottery in it, kikar uvesocho mos, or a loaf of bread and there's money in it, that's unique. Reb Shimon, so those things you'd have to announce, says Reb Yehuda. Reb Shimon ben Elazar Omer, says Reb Shimon ben Elazar, kol kli anpuria ein chayv lahachris. And Puria, the Gemara is going to explain, I think it's Chav Dalet, maybe Chav Gimel, Chav Dalet. Kokli Anpuria. Anpuria stands for Ein Poriya, I think. That you haven't had an opportunity, it's brand new, and you haven't really had an opportunity to look it over and get familiar with it. And therefore, you can't really identify it yet. And the Gemara is going to talk about it. But Kokli Anpuria Ein Chayv Lachris, you do not need to announce. Okay, Givaldi. Now, says the Gemara, Motze Peiris Mifuzarin V'chama. Okay, what's considered scattered? Okay, the Gemara wants to know. Okay, we said if you find scattered fruits, how do you determine scattered? So Amr Yitzchok says, Amr Yitzchok, Kav Ba'arba Amis. Well, if you have one kav of fruits scattered within a 4 amma area, well, that would be considered scattered. Okay, if you have more fruits or a smaller area, it would not be considered scattered. If you have less fruits, then it would be considered more scattered. Okay, so we're saying that there's a certain ratio to define scattericity. Scatterness. Hey, Chidami. So now, okay, but let's dive deeper into this ratio. Here's the thing, like, can you imagine like a 10-year-old learning this? I don't know, a bit iffy. I definitely did not understand this stuff. Definitely not at any meaningful level. Iderech nefilo. So if they like kind of just like fell, they're farfallen, they're just kind of scattered, you know, not placed there intentionally, but clearly they were like dropped there. Safilu tuvanami. Well, then even if they're less scattered, I mean, if they were dropped and they fell and nobody went to retrieve them, I would assume that even if there's lots of them, I should be able to keep them, right? They like nobody placed them there. Nobody's planning to get them. They fell there. Ve'ider chinuach, and if they were placed there, afilu botzim yochinami lo. Then I would think that even if they are more scattered, i.e. there's less fruits in that area, so they would be considered more spread out, more scattered, but if they were seem to be placed there intentionally, well then, even though they're more scattered, I should be unable to take them because somebody is planning to pick them up.
Aha. So it says, we are talking about the machnashta devedari, like where they like thresh, where like the people with grain like thresh their grain. I guess a threshing space? Sure. So we're talking about like in a threshing space, right? Which means that you have people who come there with their grain and they're like threshing up all their grain, and after they thresh the, you know, wheat, so then they take the wheat, right? They thresh it and then they take it with them to, I don't know, their storage place, wherever they're doing it. Now, whatever they leave there, the shaila is it worth it for them to retrieve it, right? Meaning they already took the bulk of their wheat, right? They threshed their wheat and they took it away. Some of it inevitably kind of fell on the floor. So we're saying,
So if after threshing all of your wheat, and you already, you know, transported the bulk of what you threshed to, I guess, where you're going to store it or whatever, you know, somewhere else. And what's left over is just, you know, one kav of wheat within a 4 amma area. It's too much of it. It's not worth it. It's a rounding error. It's not worth it. You know, you got the lion's share of your work. Okay, fine. A few grains of wheat. It's not worth the effort of going and running around to pick them up, you know, for a kav of threshed wheat within a 4 amma area. But if it is a smaller area, i.e. if the ratio is more significant, well then it is worth it for him to go and pick it up. It's less of a pain in the neck and it's worth it for him to go and pick it up. Tarach v'hadar Osi v'shokil luhu v'lo mafker luhu. He will go back and retrieve them and he won't be mafker. So there is a certain, so the context here is important, right? And we're going to learn more about this context right now. But so it isn't purely, it's not purely like a ratio, right? The context is important, as we already pointed out, right? Like if they were just kind of fell there, then I would think even a more significant, you know, even like a more dense ratio should be okay to take. And if they are placed there, well then even a more scattered ratio should not be allowed to take. So the context is that in a scenario where we're talking about a threshing floor where the person already threshed is wheat and already took most of it away and there's some left over, in that context kav b'arba amos would be considered insignificant and it would be hefker. And importantly also, friends, this is important, this is very important, this is crucial, that the thresher, the owner of the wheat, was intentional about it. We're about to learn, not about, but in a few minutes, we're going to learn about Yehu Shelo Midas. Okay, we'll get there in a few minutes. But the thresher, right, we have a person, brings his wheat there to thresh. He threshes the wheat. He takes away what he wants. He sees, there's a kav b'arba amos, forget about it, I don't want it, I'm being mafgrid, whoever wants it can have it, I'm not taking it. Right? He was intentional about it. So we're saying in that case, kav b'arba amos, somebody then goes and he sees, oh wow, there's some wheat over here, okay, whoever's wheat it was that what was mafgrid, it wasn't worth his time, and somebody can then go and pick it up and keep it.
By Rabbi Yirmiyah asked Akasha, Chatzi kab b'shtei ames mahu.
Here we go. So now again, we're getting back, you know, this 1-4 ratio isn't like an objective kind of thing. As we said, we just explained that was in the context of the threshing floor. So now we're getting into other kind of related questions. Okay, so when we say 1-4, is it specifically 1 kav to 4 ames? What about 0.5 kav to 2 ames, right? That's also the same, 1-4 ratio, but it's half the amount and half the area. So how do you relate to that?
Do we say kav ba'arba amis? That when we refer to kav ba'arba amis, time am I, how come you're allowed to take it? Mishum dinofish tarchayu,
because it's a pain in the neck to go and collect 1 kav spread out in a 4 ama area.
Chatzi kav b'shtei amis came in the lo nofish tarchayu, lo mafkalu.
But if it was half the area, if it was 0.5 kav but in only 2 amis, which it's not a pain in the neck to quickly go and pick it up in such a small area, so then maybe the thresher would not be mafkarit.
Odilma mishum deloch shive v'chatzi kav v'shtei amas kevin deloch shive mafkalu.
And maybe it's 1 kav in 4, spread out in 4 amas is not choshuv, and then certainly 0.5 kav is half choshuv. So therefore, he would be mafkarit, right? So do we say that since it's not a pain in the neck to collect it, then he would not be mafkrit? Or do we say that since it is it's not very valuable, so he doesn't care about it, and he would be mafkrit?
Kabayim bishmona amismau.
Or what about 2 kav in an 8 am area? Again, I don't understand how a 10-year-old would get the subtleties, let alone the math of 1-4 ratio of 1-4 versus 0.5 to 2 versus 2 to 8. Yeah, but okay, maybe this part they skip. And I mean, this is, I'll tell you, we're going to end with a teku. I mean, tekus in general kind of get in the weeds. I don't really understand how 10-year-old kids will get in the weeds. Who knows? Maybe we skipped this or we did it faster. Maybe the Rebbe didn't expect that you would actually understand this on the test. But I have to imagine that there are plenty who do expect it. Okay. Anyways, I mean, this is very technical stuff.
What about 2? So what about 2 kav in an 8 ama area? Where am I? Kabayim b'shmona ames ma'u. Kav ba'arba ames. Time amai. Mishum dinofish tarchayu. V'chol shekin kabayim b'shmona ames. Kim v'dinofish tarchayu. Tfei mafkilu.
So do we say, well, the whole thing by the 1-4 ratio is that it's a pain in the neck. And certainly, right, in 8 ama area is going to be a pain in the neck.
Odim mishum dinofish chshive v'kabayim b'shmona ames. Kim v'dinofish lo mafkilu.
Or maybe it's that 1 kav is not particularly significant, the financial gain is not worth it, but 2 kav already is a different story. Maybe he would want it.
Kav sumsmin ba'abamas.
What if we maintain the 1-4 ratio, but now we're not talking about wheat anymore, we're talking about sesame seeds, pain in the neck.
Ma'u kav ba'abamas time ma'i mishum diloch shive.
Well, do we say that the 1-4, right, the 1 kav is not significant?
But v'sumsmin kevin dichshive lo maafkelu.
But sesame seeds, since they are more significant, right? You can make delicious trina and chalva, and you can put them on top of pastries and things. So berekas chalas, you could do all sorts of choshev in yonim with sesame seeds. So maybe. A 1-4 ratio you would want to keep,
Odilma, or perhaps mishum dinofish tarchayu v'chol shekein sumsmin kevin dinofish tarchayu tfei mafkelu.
Or maybe it's about being a pain in the neck and sesame seeds, to go pick up sesame seeds, pain in the neck.
Kav tami ba'abamas.
What if though we're talking about a kav of dates, kav rimoni ba'abamas, or a kav of pomegranates?
Mau.
Kav ba'arba amos time amai mishum diloch shive. Kav tamir ba'arba amos kav imoni ba'arba amos nami kevin diloch shive mafkelu. Do we say that the pshat with the 1-4 ratio is that they are not significant? And dates and pomegranates, they might be very gishmak, but they're not like particularly expensive. Although I'll tell you, Epis, they haven't been to Shuk Machne Yehuda recently, I guess. dates and dates and nothing in Shuk Machnayuda is particularly cheap. But pomegranates, I don't know, I don't get pomegranates often at all because they're shtickle complicated to extract the fruit from it. Maybe we should have another look. I don't even know if it's pomegranate season now, but I bet that where I buy pomegranates, I have a feeling that they're not going to be cheap. I'll coupon them, but I guess they're not considered a specialty item, at least not there. But, okay, we say that those are kind of ordinary fruits, so okay, so you would be mafka them. Odilma, pshim denefish terachai, v'kab tami ba'ay ba'amas, v'kab rimoni ba'ay ba'amas, kev zlo nofish terachai lo mafka lu. But maybe the thing with the 1-to-4 ratio is that it's a pain in the neck. Dates, pomegranates, they're not such a pain in the neck to collect. They're big. You just go and scoop them up. So maybe you would not be mafka them. So what do we say? Take. We say chvesnisht. Okay. Imagine yourself at 10 years old. Do you chap or do you not chap? What do you think? Though I do have a memory of learning the word teku when I was in 7th grade. I didn't know what the heck it meant. I think on a test we were supposed to write down what it stood for. I can't remember if I knew it or not. I seem to remember it being like a thing that we were supposed to know. I can't remember if I actually did or not. All right. Idmar was stated, Yehu Shalomidas. Now this is a classic sugya. There's a lot of classicness about this sugya. This is also one of the scenarios, as we're going to see tomorrow, of Yal Kigam. This was one of the places where we paskin like Abaye. Yal Kigam, the Yud is Yehu Shalomidas. Shalomidas is an extremely classic machlokas. Yehu Shalomidas, Abaye Omar. Lo have a yeush, v'rov omer have a yeush. Do do da 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 do 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 do. Bam ba da 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 da. To do 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 do. Friends, who can explain this? I hope I can. Okay, Yehu Shalomidas, at least according to Rashi, I wouldn't be surprised if there's a machlokas here, but yeah, Rashi explains Yehu Shalomidas is be'etzim. Can you assume Yehush? Kind of as I pointed out before, that by the threshers, they were intentionally, right? The point is that they consciously said, forget it, I'm not interested, I'm gonna leave. It's not important enough for me to pick up, or it's a headache, whatever it is. For example, scattered fruits, right? That was something that we listed in the Mishnah, Paris Mufuzars. Paris Mufuzar and whatever. If you have something that you can assume that when the person realizes, like, oh, shnikes, I lost it, they'll be like, all right, whatever, I'm never going to get it back. I don't know, what's an example of, what's an example of something, I almost had it. Sorry for the how about this? Why not? Yeah, why not this? A bag of nuts, right? Yeah, that's fine. You go to one of a million places in Shuk Machne Yehuda where you can get a bag of nuts, and then you take them, and you very quietly go to Ganatut. Obviously, you're probably going and making as much noise as you can, especially while I'm recording Babylon Talmud, but I don't hear you anyways because I have noise-canceling headphones now. But let's just positive and optimistic, and you very quietly tiptoe into Gan Hatut, and you sit down with your bag of nuts, and then you get a phone call and you get up and you go somewhere and you An hour later, you're like, holy so an hour later, you say, oh, nuts. And you're like, dang it, forget about it. There's a bag of nuts. Forget about it. I'm never going to get it back. The thing is, the second that you got up from there, one of the people who just kind of hangs out, you know, because in Ghana, too, there's some people that they hang out there. I guess that they don't have a very busy work schedule, and they just kind of hang out. So when you got that phone call and you left without realizing that you forgot your nuts over there, the people who spend a lot of time over there, they moved in and they started playing steal the salami and whoever gets it first, right? So the thing is, you didn't realize yet that you forgot your nuts over there. So that's the shot of Yehu Shalomidas. Kilu, when you realize an hour later that, like, oh, nuts. So then you'd be like, all right, forget it. Amafka, I don't care. Whatever. I'm not getting back my nuts, right? Forget about it. I'm done. But at the time that he got the phone call and he started moving towards where I live to talk very loudly on the phone while I'm recording Babylon Talmud to drive me crazy. Sorry. But again, I have noise canceling here. Headphones, talk as loud as you want. These noise canceling headphones changed my life, you know. Changed your life too, as people, listeners to Babylon Talmud. It changed the nature of my complaining and my whining. I'm no longer whining because I'm annoyed. I'm whining as I... Okay, so now what? So as the person is talking very loudly and getting closer to my house and continuing on his journey, so then, or really my parents' house, so the shaila is, can these people who spend time at the park, can they move in on those nuts? That's the shaila. Because he hasn't realized yet that he lost them. So he hasn't yet been miyayish. But when he finds out an hour later, like, oh, nuts, he will be miyayish. So the shaila is, that's yeyush shaloy midas, right? A scenario where there will ultimately be yeyush, but he just doesn't know yet that he lost them, that he misplaced them. So he wasn't technically miyayish them, but he will be miyayish them. What does that mean for right now? Is it rehave yeyush shalo ave yeyush? Sorry for the very roundabout way. I feel like I haven't complained in a while. Maybe because the Gemara has been so geschmack recently that I've had to put, oh my gosh, Chev, I've had to put so much energy into the Gemaras these days. It's actually very nice that Eilu Metzias is like a little, this very, very, very geschmack, but like, doesn't require as much koiches as like Reuven stealing from Shimon and selling to Levi, and that stuff is going to drive you crazy. Bobe Mivomis. I just had to, it was like from, what was it, Beauty and the Beast? Life is so unnerving for a servant who's not serving. Imagine for a complainer who's not complaining. It's not poshut. Sorry. All right. So where are we? Oh, Chevet, this is just such a geshmaka sugya. It's such a classic sugya. So classic because you learn it when you're 10 years old and when you're 36. Itmar, yeyush shelo midas. So this scenario of ultimate yeyush, eventual yeyush, maybe that's not a bad way to call it, eventual yeyush. So Abai Omer lo ave yeyush. Abai says it doesn't count. You can't consider it to be ownerless. V'Ravi Omer have yeyush. Ravi says it is considered yeyush. Now, b'dover sheyesh bo simin, this is so classic, something that has a sign, on it, a sign, an identifiable sign. Like, let's say, for example, I don't know, so let's say the nuts had, like, where you purchased it from, right? The store that you purchased it from or something. Okay? So then, v'dav sheyesh bo simin, kuliyama lo pligei, deloy have yeyush. So, look, if there is a sign on it, then obviously it's not yeyush because he can always come back and look for, you know, and look for what he lost. Because there's something identifiable on it, and he would be able to come and say, oh yeah, I lost this bag of nuts. It said pitzuche, fill in the blank on it. And okay, fine. Slava yeush. V'afagad shamine demiyayish livasof lo have yeush. Even though we may find out that eventually he was miyayish. Lo avi yeyush. It's not yeyush. What does Rashi say? So after the person finds it, he finds out later that the person was miyayish. No. Yeyush means he says, oh gosh, no way, I lost these things, I'm never going to get them back. So even if you find out, I guess eventually, that he's miyayish, it is not yeyush. Because when the fellow picked it up, he wasn't allowed to pick it up, because at that point, right, that by default, if there's something identifying about it, well, then you can't take it, because the assumption is that when they realize that they lost this object, they're going to say, wait, one second, I'm going to go and I'm going to get it back. I'll be able to identify it. I'll be able to find it, you know, and I'll be able to get it back. So therefore, the assumption is that something that's identifiable, everyone would agree that you cannot take it, because the assumption is when the person realizes that it's lost, he will not give up hope. Instead, he will say, oh, I can identify it. I'm going to go get it back. And therefore, even if eventually we find out that he actually was mafker it, it doesn't work, because at the time that the person took it, prior to the fellow being mafker it, he wasn't allowed to take it at that time, since you had to assume that the person wasn't going to be mafker it, because he would say, wait, I can identify it. I'm going to go back and get it. Vizuto shayam v'shlisho shanar. If something got lost because, you know, like a current came from the sea and swept it up in the sea, or like, you know, the sea swelled up and swept it up, right? So basically, if it gets swept into the sea, so you're not, you know, if you see your lost object getting swept into the sea, even assumed yeyush. If we're talking about something that got swept into the sea, so then afagav the isbei simin, even though there is an identifying thing on it, rachmana sharye kedmina lememer lekaman. Okay, so it's going to be allowed, as we're going to explain, I believe, at the top of Chof Beis. Okay, because there, I mean, yeah, the person, even if he didn't necessarily see it, you can assume that he's going to find out about it, and he's going to be mafker. We're going to talk about it, I think, at the beginning of the daf tomorrow. Kiplige, where they argue is b'davar she'ein bo simin. Where they argue is when there is nothing identifiable about it. So go back to those nuts that were left on the park bench in Ganatut. It was just in a Ziploc bag, although that could be identified about it. Maybe it was just like a random shuk bag, and they didn't like have, you know, there was nothing, whatever it was. There was nothing identifiable about it. Nothing to say, make it any different than anybody else's nuts. So where they argue is something that, right, that is unidentifiable, that is not unique in any kind of way. So the shaila is, so if there was, as we said, if there was a simon, if there was something unique about it, identifiable about it, so then you cannot take it, because the assumption is that the person will go back for it. But it's something that is not identifiable, not unique in any way, that was simply left there. So the question is, can you assume, look, we can assume that when he realizes that it's lost, he's going to say, oh, nuts. And he's just going to forget about it. He's going to say, forget about it. But the question is, he hasn't yet realized that. He hasn't yet said, oh, nuts. So can you take it now? That's the machlokes. Abaye says, no, you can't take it now. It's not yeyush. Because he doesn't yet know that it fell from him. And he hasn't yet said, oh, nuts. Rava Omer Ave Yeush, Rava says, no, it is already Yeush, Tilchiyoda Dinofomine Miyaish. Because obviously, well, we can assume that when he finds out, he's going to say, oh, nuts. Meimer Omer Simon, excuse me, Simon Alesli Begave, Meashtu de Miyaish. Right? So he says, look, I don't have any, there's nothing identifiable about these nuts. And he says, oh, I forget about it. So it's clear to us that we can assume that he's going to say, forget about it. Whoever wants him, take him. That is our shaila, okay? Can we assume sort of implied yeyush or eventual yeyush? I don't remember what I had said earlier. I think eventual yeyush maybe makes more sense. Toshma, come here. Peris mifuzar? Well, our Mishnah had said that scattered fruits, hare elu shelo, you can keep. Halo yada denafa mine. Right, if we assume, right, like if we assume like the nuts, for example, that you left in Ganatut. Well, as we explained in my example, right, he didn't realize, he got up, he got a phone call, he went to take the phone call, he doesn't realize yet that he forgot his nuts over there. Ha'omer rabukva bar choma, hocha b'machnashta d'vedar yaskinon d'ved midasi. Yeah, but the thing is, we already saw earlier on today's daf the opinion of Rav Ukva bar Choma that peris mifuzarin are specifically talking about machnashta devei dori. He's talking about the threshing floor. It's this very specific place where he actually does know, right? Right? It was a conscious decision. He says, look, I've already taken the lion's share, right? We're talking about where he was threshing wheat and he already took the lion's share. And he says, look, okay, I know that there's some left over. It's only kav bar ba'amos. Forget it. It's not worth it. I'm not taking it. So that was conscious. He was miya'ish it. It wasn't yet. So it's peris mifuzarin in the Mishnah is not yeyu shelo midas. Toshma coming here. Most mifuzaris scattered money. Hare elu shelo. He just finds like a bunch of shekels scattered on the floor. I talk I had this yesterday. Was that WeWork? And I saw somebody, I don't know, I was in my office, and I don't know, somebody like, I guess dropped some stuff and went down to pick some stuff up, I guess. And then, I guess they picked up whatever they needed to and went on. And then a few minutes later, I see somebody walk by and finds a coin and he's like, yo, do you know who this belongs to? I won't tell you what I said. let's go right there. So maybe it's a shtickle different because it's not like Brishus Arabim. Like you could probably find out who did it, who it belongs to, but like a coin. There's nothing there's absolutely nothing unique about a coin, right? So you find like some coins on the floor. So we said in the Mishnah that Eidu Shalom, you can keep them. But Amai, how come you can keep them? Halo Yada Dinafamine, he doesn't know that it got that they lost. Right? The person doesn't know that they lost it. So shouldn't that be Yehu Shalom Midas? And we're saying that you can keep it? Hasam Nami can do Rabbi Yitzchak. It's like Rabbi Yitzchak that we've seen before. Where did we see Rabbi Yitzchak? Vavakam, Daf Kuf Yud Ches, we saw Rabbi Yitzchak. Damar Adam Asun Mashmish Bekiso B'chol Shua V'shua. That a person, and we're going to see Rabbi Yitzchak's opinion in a few minutes, that a person is checking their wallet all the time. They lose money, they know it immediately. Hachonami Adam Asui the Mashmish Bekiso B'chol Shua V'shua. Here also, the assumption is that if a person lost money, they know that they lost money. And therefore, you can assume that when you found it, they already gave up hope. It's just, some scattered money, some scattered coins in some place. The person already gave up hope. There's nothing identifiable about it. There's no way that he could say that this is mine. And, although I kind of wonder is if there is some kind of way that you might be able to, maybe like the number of coins. I don't know. Anyways, we're saying that most mufuzaris you cannot. Right. Hare Elu Shalo, you can keep because there's nothing identifiable about it. And the person already knew immediately that they lost it. So you can assume that they were Miyash already. And therefore, it's not Yehu Shalom Midas. Toshma, come in here. Igule Dvela V'kikro Shal Nachto. If a person loses fig cakes or breads, bread from a baker, Hare Elu Shalo, the finder can keep it. Am I? But how come? Valiyadu dunafal mine, the person who lost these items doesn't know that they lost them yet necessarily. Hasumnanme agav di yakire media yadabu. No, also fig cakes and breads, they're heavy, bulky items. You know, if you lost them, you'll be like you would notice right away that like, wait, what happened to that item? So again, it's not Yehu Shalom Midas. Toshma coming over the shonis shall agamin. That if you find tongues of scarlet wool, you can keep it. You can keep it. Why? He doesn't know that he lost it. So since they are expensive, so it's like the Reb Yitzchak theory, which is if a person loses money, they know it right away. So here also, if you lose this scarlet wool, you would know it right away, and therefore whoever finds it, and it's not identifiable, it's like every other scarlet wool, and therefore whoever finds it can keep it, because you can assume that they were already miyash.
Toshma kamnira motzi moz bebote knesos bebote midrashis. A fellow finds money in a synagogue or in a study hall. Uvechol makom sharab mitzuyin shom, and any place that there's lots of people over there, Hare elu shalo, you can keep it. Mipnei shabai lemisiyai shen meim, because whoever lost it, the owner, whoever lost it already gave up hope. V'alo yoda d'nofol mine, but he doesn't know that it fell from him yet. So how can he keep it? So am Rabbi Yitzchak, or the most in the mashmish b'kisa b'choshav v'sho. So here we have Rabbi Yitzchak's opinion that a person is checking his wallet all the time, and immediately when he loses money, he realizes it, and he's going to say, oy vavoy, Vaili lechesun kiss, oy vey, I've lost it, I'm never going to get it back. And then, therefore, the person who finds it can keep it. There's nothing identifiable about it. Toshma, coming here. May Mosa call Adam Mutorim beleket? When can anybody collect the leket, right? Meaning a person's harvesting his field, and some of the stuff that he's harvesting falls on the floor. You have to leave it for the poor people. At what point can the owner of the field himself say, okay, nobody's coming for it, I'm just gonna take it for myself? So Mishayel Chubo Anemushis, from the time that the Nemushis have already been there. Rabbinu, we say my Nemushis, what are Nemushis? It is old people that walk with a cane, meaning people who are retired, people who are in no particular rush, people who are gonna get to the field and have plenty of time to inspect what they might be able to take. And once they've come and gone and left stuff there and decided, you know, I'm not taking it, well, then nobody's going to take it anymore. You know, if after they've gone and thoroughly investigated and left whatever they left, you can keep it at that point. Rish Lakish Amar, Likute Basa Likute, Rish Lakish says that, I believe it's two rounds of collectors, right? Meaning one round of Aniyim comes and takes what they take, another round takes what they take. At that point, whatever has survived those two rounds, the owner can take for himself. Now, Ve'amai, but why is that acceptable? Nehid Aniyim Dehocho Miyayshe, granted that the people from the area where the field is have already seen it and decided that they don't want it, and they're miyayishet, they say it's ownerless, we don't care about it. But ika aniyim beduchta achriset lo miyayishet, but what about the people from other towns that don't live here? And they have not yet said, we're not interested. Sami came to ika aniyim hocha, hanuch meikara, iushe miyayish, v'amanim da'os melaktele. Yeah, but they are not an actual factor, right? People from another area is not a factor because the people from the other area already milchatchila know, well, we're not going to, we have no chance of getting any leket from this other place because the people of the other place are going to be taking that leket. So therefore, the people from, right, people from a different area are not actually a factor in considering leket, and it would not be considered yehu shalom midas. Yehu shalom midas would be, well, how can you take it now? You don't know what the people far away are going to say about this leket. Maybe they will want it. Yeah, but, right, so therefore it's yehu shalom midas. You know, it's not yehu shalom midas because they are not part of the equation since they're never actually going to come to get it, because they just assume that they're not going to travel somewhere for leket, because the local aniyim would have already taken it. Toshma kaminir kitzis baderech. If you're walking down a road and you see some figs, I believe, that are just on the road, that are just like on the road, right? They've already been like cut, and I guess in the field to dry, whatever, and you have some of them on the road. Even if it's mamish right next to like a field where they've, meaning if you see these like figs on the road, even if they're right next to a field, an adjacent field that you have like cut the figs on. So maybe ketzios are dates? Is it possible ketzios are dates? No, te'enim. No, those are figs. Okay, and similarly a fig tree that is right next to the road, and therefore I guess figs like fall onto the road. Umatzit te'enim tachte, and you find figs under, I guess, the fig tree. Mutaris mishum gezel fturus min amayser. So you can take them, and it would not be considered theft, and they are hefker, therefore they are potter from meiser. So we're saying, basically, that these figs that are on the road, you can take.
Hare elu shelo, you can have them.
Bizesum vachruvim, but if they're olives or caribs, also then you cannot take them. So this is interesting, because the Reisha is saying you could take them, the Seifa is saying that you can't take them. Now, in the Reisha, if you could take them, it sounds like Yeush Shalomidas have Yeush. They're Hefker. Sounds like Rava. It's a Kasha and Abaye.
But then the Seifa says that by olives and by caribs, you cannot, right? Osir, right? What do we say? Osir, you cannot take them. You cannot take them. You cannot take them. So that sounds like Abayu says, Yeush Shalomidas lo ave Yeush. It's not Yeush. And it's not Hefker, you cannot take them. It's Kashan Ravu, says Yeush Lamidas have Yeush.
So Bishlam a Resha the Abaye Lokasha. Okay, so we can say that the Resha, which says that you are allowed to take the figs, so even though Abaye says Yeush Shalomidas lo have Yeush, so why are you allowed to take the figs?
Well, Agav di Chashive Mimashmesh Behu.
That since they are
where am I?
Okay, yeah, exactly. That since they are significant by the Ktzias, since they are significant, I guess expensive, so he'll know if they went missing. And therefore, he would know right away. And therefore he's milchatchila already going to be Miyayish, right? Meaning, therefore if they're still there, then he was Miyayish.
To Ein Nami, also these figs that fall on the street from the tree, Nema Nami, made the Yediya Dinasra, he also knows that some of the figs are going to fall onto the street. So also, he knows, okay, whatever figs fall on the street, forget about it, I don't care about. So when it comes to the figs, you know, he was already, either he was aware that they were there and he was cool with it, or he's aware that some of the figs are going to inevitably fall off the tree and he's cool with it. So when it comes to the figs, he's cool with it. So while Abaye in general would say Yeush Shalomidas lo have Yeush, this is not Yeush Shalomidas because he's planning for the eventuality or the reality, or he knows simply that these figs are there and he's okay with it. So therefore, that is why you can take them, because he was already Miyayish.
Ela Seifa l'Rava Kasha, but the Seifa, according to Rava, which says that by the caribs and by the olives, it's osur. Why should it be osur? Yeush lomidas have yeush. It should be hefker. The katoni b'zeisum v'charuvim osur. So Amr Babo says, Babo shiny zayis. No, it's different when it comes to olives. Hol v'chazuso mechiach olav, because since you can, right? Since everybody's olives are unique. I don't know. I guess everybody's olives look unique, so you can, so it has a simen on it, and therefore a person can claim it, and that's why it's also Vafagav Dinasun Zeise Meida what Mochiachal Vafagav Dinasun, and even though they've fallen off the tree, Zeise Meida Yadiya Duchto De Inish Hu. Even though the olives have fallen, you'll be able to figure out who they belong to. Because everybody's olives are unique to them, and you'll be able to find who they belong to. There's a siman on it. That is why they're also yochi. If that's the case, afilu reisha nami. That's the case. Say the same thing by the figs, that you'll be able to figure out whose figs they are. Omer of pape te'eno im nifiloso nim eses. Yeah, but the thing is, a fig, when it falls, it immediately gets wormy and gross. And therefore, a person already knows that by the figs, forget it. If they fall, I'm not taking it. Whoever wants it, gesunte heit, because they're going to get all wormy. So therefore, memela, there was already yeush, which is not the case by the olives, there's a simen, or by the carib, and therefore it's also chevre. I talk after run, because in about a minute, I'm going to run out of time on the video. But chevre, that was the first daf of the perek of Elu Metzias. We learned some geshmaka stuff, aside from this fact that this is just the most classic stuff that there is in Gemara. Elu mitziyah shelo ve'elu chayiv lahachriz. Yehu shalomidas, machlok zabayi v'rovo. This is just like awesome, awesome stuff. Simonim. We're going to continue with this tomorrow. And we're going to get to just some awesome, awesome stuff. So, all right. I hope you enjoyed. Catch you tomorrow. Peace out.